Sometimes people get discouraged. You say, well, there's nobody listens to me. Well, what difference does it make if nobody listens, as long as you lovingly share God's word? If you ever feel bad, think of poor old Noah. Preached 120 years, nobody listened. And if you get discouraged, you just put yourself in his shoes once, right? And there, the greatness of the thing is, people, if it's God's word and we lovingly share it, we don't have to force it down anybody's throat. We don't have to go around and say, look, you do this or else. We know better than that. We simply know it's God's word and we lay it out before God's people. Then the hungry people eat and we thank God for them, but we also thank God that somehow or other, maybe some of the rest of them will get enough sense to eat someday. If not, we love them. Because people, the greatest thing we have is the love of God in our hearts, shed abroad by the Holy Spirit that's in us, and we share this love of God. Now, people, this greatness of this word sometimes is not accepted because of the enemy and what he does. And in the fourth chapter of Mark, we have this tremendous record. And he, Jesus, began again to teach by the seaside. By the way, if you want to be a teacher, there is no better method of learning to teach intellectually than to study the Gospels and see the method that Jesus employed in teaching. He was a genius. He was God's best, you know. The greatest teacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous. He began again to teach by the seaside. And if you think about it, why did he do it at the seaside? Well, because if you're going to teach, you've got to get people away from the humdrum of their society. You've got to get uninvolved and get them someplace where they can, well, the best word I can think of, get relaxed. Because if you're going to receive great truth, you can't be tied up like that. You have to be at ease. And your mind has to be sharp and you have to be willing to learn. He took them to the seaside and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. That he finally entered in a ship and he sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his teaching and his right believing doctrine, this is what he said, behold, there went a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed. Now a sower could go forth and not what? Sow. But this sower went forth and he had something to sow. That some of this which he sowed fell by the wayside. And the fowl of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and some brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you see, we could begin guessing again, remember? The scripture, the word of God has to interpret itself in the verse, in the what? That's right. So you keep reading, you keep looking. And when he was alone, after the multitude left, they that were about him, that were with him, the 12 asked of him the meaning of the parable. And he said unto them, unto you, it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. We're not talking about the kingdom of heaven here. We're talking about what? The kingdom of God is overall. The kingdom of heaven is one segment under the kingdom of God. The church, the body, is one segment under that whole kingdom of God. The mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven. really quite something. Someday I'll handle verse 12. No interest in it tonight, right, ma'am. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all the parables? The sower soweth the word. That's the parable. The sower soweth the word. That's why at verse 3 it says the sower went out to what? Now how in the world are we going to sow the word if we don't know it? How can you sow grass seed if you haven't got any grass seed in the sower? The box, you know, the fiddle. How are we going to sow the word without knowing the word? This is why the first thing all of us have to do is to get a knowledge of God's word. You don't have to know it all, but you've got to know that word of God so that you're able to sow the seed. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, they heard the word, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their personal lives, their hearts. This is number one. Here are people who heard the word, but who comes? Satan comes. And immediately after they've heard the word, he steals it away. And there's no word left. Why does he steal it away? Because the people allow Satan to do this. There are four different types of people that are going to show up here and four different types of results. But this type, as the first one given here, is singularly significant because this happens in a man's ministry of the Word of God constantly. He'll sow that Word of God. The people will hear it, but immediately thereafter, Satan comes, snatches it away, and you talk to them tomorrow, and nothing left. It hasn't changed their life. It hasn't turned them around, hasn't done anything for them. And often think about this, because in the Holy Spirit field, this is what is happening so many, many times among people in outlying areas where the film ministry is not taught, or where the tape ministry of the way is not taught, or where our people like you are not teaching the word. Talked to a man in Florida this afternoon, because I'm going to be at a convention in Fort Lauderdale sometime in October, where they're having a convention on receiving the Holy Spirit. I introduced myself on the telephone. Oh, he said, I've got your book. Well, I said, praise the Lord. I felt like saying, well, why haven't you read it? But I didn't. But you know something? He can't have really read it, because if he'd have read it, he wouldn't still be under the slain in the spirit movement. But Satan comes, you hear the word, but Satan does what? Steals it away. Well, I'm going to go down and have me a good time. But I see this all the time, and I'm sure this communicates with you too, because you people minister the word. You help. You try to set the word out there, and lo and behold, the next day you wonder, what happened to him? Where did it go? Satan cometh, and immediately taketh it away. Satan does it. You know, in a recent survey in the last 3 months, according to the publication that came out in one of the national periodicals, less than 23% of all the so-called Christian church people in America believe in a devil. Less than 23, and less than 13% believe that there's anything like bad spirits, devil spirits. They think they're all good spirits. Man, how can you get so screwed up? Well, it must not be difficult, right? What happened? Satan has come, right? Satan has come, and down through the years, the word isn't there. The word isn't there. He's stolen it away. second group is in verse 16. These are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with what? Right. Are they born again? The verse 16. You students, you grads of the advanced class ought to know that answer. How do you know they're born again? That's the word. What? Lambano. Right. Because the word receive is lambano. You can't lambano anything until you first decomai, right? Man, they're born again and they're hotter than a firecracker for the Lord. They stand up and give their testimony, you know, like God saved me from this. Here I am, glory, hallelujah, I'm on the road. That's right. The word lambano. They lambano it and they're tickled to death. And if you were looking at it sense knowledge-wise, you'd say, well, boy, those people are going to turn the world upside down because look at them. They're just moving out. They're talking to everybody on the street corner. They're talking to everybody at Adolph's. All over, we're just talking. Right. Verse 17 says, but they have no root. No root. Boy, in the teaching ministry of the way here at the headquarters and in our outlying areas, the thing we're always after people on, get rooted, rooted. Remember Ephesians, isn't it? Or is it called? He rooted in him, rooted. So that when old Satan comes, he just can't take that tree and blow it over pronto. It's got some roots. It's down in. This is why we have to know that we know that we know that we know that we know. We've got to get rooted. They have no root. So they endure for a time, for a little season of time. Boy, they're the greatest. But when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Hear me. The next door neighbor comes over and he says, you've been to that class on power for abundant living? I heard that's of the devil. So immediately, yeah, maybe it is. Down goes the word. But boy, before that, you're the greatest. You're sitting in that class, for instance, for 2 or 3 weeks, and boy, the night after night when that word's taught, you just lambano, you manifest, and that's the greatest. 3 weeks later, you're walking down the street. Somebody else meets one of them and says, hey, do you speak in tongues? Well, number two, the people who receive the word with gladness, but no root, no depth. And it doesn't hold unless you get a depth of God's word. You've got to be able to give a testimony of the believing that's in you. Rightly. I'm not talking the wrong believing. I'm talking the right believing. Number three group. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. They hear the word. But the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of to have other things entering in, choke out the greatness of the word, that the word becomes what to them? Unfruit. You see, I tell our people we've got to travel fast and far. We've got to travel light. Most of us in America believe that we've got to have a lot of material things. The more material things we own, the more we're loaded down. The material things are in the world to utilize. As long as you can let somebody else own it and you can use it, you're far ahead of it. Somebody else. Because the cares of this world get so that they just choke out the word. We get involved in all of this insurance business where week after week after week and month after month You just bleed your heart out. You've got to have that money to pay for that insurance. Then you just are all exhausted, for instance, because you just choke out the word. People, that verse 19 certainly speaks to our day and our time, as do all the other verses too. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and I told you, lust begins where need ceases. God said he'd fill all of our what? Need. Lust begins where need ceases. The lust of other things entering in, it's that that chokes out the word. You see, people say to quote me that scripture, cast your bread upon the water and it'll come back, but it'll be blessed soggy, I guarantee you. Unless somebody gets that word. And unless people, we receive that word and believe that word and get rooted in it, we fall into these categories. And all the people you will be ministering the word to are going to fall into one or the other of these four categories. Because the Lord said so, and the Lord was never wrong. He was always right. He's our Savior. This is why number 4 says, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. The good ground are such as hear the word. And the word hear is hear it and believe it. It doesn't go clean, clear through. Hear the word and receive and bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some what? 100-fold. The commentaries talk about people hearing the word and somebody producing enough for 60, some 30. And those that are produce 100-fold, they're the best. That's not what that verse is saying. You know why? Because we have different potentials, different abilities. And some of people, when they bring forth 30%, are bringing forth their maximum. Some who are bringing forth 60% bring forth their maximum. And some who are bringing forth 100% are only bringing forth their maximum. That's what the verse says. If I have a greater potential to bring forth fruit, then I have a greater obligation to bring it. If I'm a 60%er and I only bring forth 30%, I'll fall in one of those other three categories. That's what I want you to see. If I have 100% ability to gel something and I only gel 60%, I'll fall in one of the other categories. But if I only have 60% ability and I receive that word and I glory in that word and I stay put on that word, I'll bring forth the max. And the will of the Lord is that we produce, according to the ability that is set within us, the greatness of his word. Those are the four kinds. There are no more. Then in verse 21, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him do what? Hear. And you'll notice in verse 21, you'll have a paragraph marking in your King James, right? I scratch it. You know why? Because these verses go directly with the teaching of the word where it's sown. And he's still talking about the greatness of the word. He said unto them, is a candle to illustrate the greatness of the word. Do you ever take the greatness of the word and hide it? Do you put it under a bushel? Or do you set it out there where people can see that candle and walk in that light? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested future-wise according to the revelation God has given his word. Neither was anything kept secret but that it should become open abroad out in the open. And he said, if any man has got ears to hear, let that fellow hear. Last, it is our responsibility to hold the ineffable greatness of his word. We are sowers who are to sow the word. We don't put our light under a bushel, but we hold the greatness of God's word there and we sow the word, knowing that some of the word was going to fall by what? The wayside. Knowing that some is going to fall among thorns. What was the second one? Stony ground, wasn't it? Right? Receive it with gladness, but no root. And in the fourth place, we know some are going to hear. Wasn't it Thursday night when we read from Acts about Mars Hill, the Areopagus? Was that in our Thursday fellowship? We're in the Word so much all the time, I forget the days. But, you know, when Paul was on Mars Hill where they had all the gods from all the world, temples to them, places to worship, every one of them, they had one up there with an inscription to the unknown God in case they'd missed anybody. That's right. And there he preached the Word. And the philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics were there, the great philosophical brains, always to hear something new, they said. And the thing that was new to them, that this fellow Paul was preaching something that wasn't quite kosher, because he's teaching false gods or strange gods, as they call it, because he preached that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And there he preached that word, and one group said, well, we just don't believe one lousy word. The other group said, well, we're going to think about it a while. And other groups said, well, they believe the word. And to those who believe the word, it says, the Lord adds to the church daily, such as what? Isn't that something? People, God has given us a most wonderful ministry in the world today in a number of very significant ways, but among which is the freedom that we have and the beauty of just presenting God's word without any compulsion. Where I'd have to say to Jerry, Jerry, you either believe this or go to hell. Isn't it wonderful that I could just say to Jerry, here's the word, this is God's word, try it out. And Jerry says, well, I will. And bless God, he gets the result. Somebody else says, well, I don't believe a word of it. Well, God bless you. You see, this is the greatness of the ministry, because basically every other little group wants to put you under their flag. All we want to do is God's word to live and teach it in love. Just be sure you're sowing the word. Then if it falls among thorny grounds or stony grounds or if it's choked out, that is not your responsibility. That is theirs. And therefore, it's a wonderful time, people. Here we're in the fall season. Another year of the Way Ministry on the move. Pretty soon we'll have our 27th anniversary, Sunday night. Well, it's the word that's permeating the areas. Tonight we begin for the first time to move the word in the great state of Kansas. I pray all the time for every place in the world. I want every state to have a center where the word really lives. I want every foreign country to have a center where the word is made available. Because then nobody can say they couldn't have heard the word. It is our joy and privilege to dispense that word, to help people with that word, to share it. That's the greatest thing we've got in this life, people. We thank God for the work in the shops and factories and farms. We thank God for this ability. But our life was not primarily given to us to work in a shop or factory or farm. That's just so we got enough money to live on. It was given to us that we, in our day and time, might again hold forth that wonderful, wonderful Word of God. to make that word of God appealing and living and real for people with all the ability we have to produce top fruit at 30, 60, or 100 fold in our lives. To that end, God has called us people, and to that end, we as people of God are dedicated to Him. So I thank God for the greatness of His wonderful words.